Hi, I'm Mary Beth, a lifelong baseball fan who works in the cannabis industry.
And I'm her husband, Eric. I'm trying to get back into baseball, and I work from home. This is High and Inside.
George. The high portion of this episode is sponsored by Lil Legend OG.
The legend may be little, but the hits are as big as you want them to be.
Hello, welcome back to High and Inside, or welcome if this is your first time. It's an interesting way to start. Just see episode 5 slapped on something and say, 5 sounds like the beginning.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. So right away, if you're new, you're like, wow, this banter. The chemistry is...
See, that's why they have to get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, because that's a joke that really paid off if you listen to the first 4 episodes.
Right.
Yeah, so that's just the lesson we've taught people who's just starting. Who would be someone who's just starting this episode this week? One of our uncles?
Yeah, all the aunts keep ragging them.
So, Mary Beth, EBT's exciting baseball things for the week. What do you have?
So the two players who have started off the hottest out of the gate in the National League offensively are Christian Yelich of Milwaukee and Cody Bellinger of Los Angeles, the Dodgers version. There's two Los Angeles teams.
Yeah, technically.
Bellinger traveled with the Dodgers to Milwaukee. I believe the Dodgers eliminated Milwaukee last year to get to the World Series.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm thinking that was the path that they had to take. So I think there's some history there already. Right. So the Dodgers are back in Milwaukee. Yelich has hit 13 home runs in 103 plate appearances.
Damn.
So he's blasting the ball.
That's about 1 out of every 10.
It's 1.3 out of every 10, I would say.
Which
it's
is
pretty
like
close.
One every third game? Maybe second game?
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's hitting crazy.
Yeah.
Bellinger is slashing 424.
Average.
500.
On base.
882.
Slugging.
Yes.
I learned those things.
So... he's getting on base half of his at-bats. He's getting a hit in 42% of them.
Damn.
He's hitting like crazy. So this is like, you know, two hot players.
They're the McGuire
Sosa
right now.
Two hot teams. I saw someone make that comparison.
Yeah.
That it's like not dissimilar to that watch, you
sure.
know? So Bellinger comes out as the clear winner because... in a game where Milwaukee was already leading in the 8th inning of the game, the bottom of the 8th, Bellinger robs Yelich of a home run.
That's
literally
awesome.
Pulls a ball back in the 8th to keep it so that they're only, I think, behind by one run. In the top of the 9th, against Josh Hader, who is Bill Hader's brother, an incredible hurler for the Brewers, had some off-color tweets come out last year during the...
probably pretty good at impressions.
All-star game. Bellinger hits a go-ahead home run off of him.
Damn.
So he kind of came into Yelich's house...
and
was like, no, thank you, but I will do that, please.
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty cool.
That is a cool story.
Yeah. Just kind of the thing that got me the most excited in baseball this week.
Yeah, that is really cool.
How are you feeling about baseball this week?
I'm in a good mood baseball-wise. I think I'm locked in with my Pirates fandom. I think this is the longest I've ever followed them in a season.
Nice.
Before, about 20 games. I think I usually would check out around 10 and never look at it again. So I feel like right now I feel locked in for at least the next few weeks. It'll be interesting to see.
Cake who sings, he's going
the distance. He's going for speed.
He's going for speed.
It'll be interesting to see if I care about what games they have and if they're playing while we do some like life event stuff and some weddings that we're going to soon. So it'll be interesting to see if I keep up with him there. But because I'm down with the Pirates right now, I kind of want to like look and see like what are the hot topics league wise, and like ask you kind of like what's the story, what's the controversy of the year thus far, and see if we can unpack that.
I think that the story in baseball that's been the most talked about this week is that we had another home run celebration lead to a benches clearing brawl, multiple player suspensions, similar to the Chris Archer, David Duchovny story.
Right.
So this time around, it was Tim Anderson of the Chicago White Sox, who I think it's kind of important to say has had a really fast start, has come out of the gate really strong. Mm-hmm. Even though he's a number of seasons into his career, he seems to be having kind of like a breakout season.
Yeah. How old is he?
Maybe late 20s.
Show note.
Show note. Put it in the notes. And
is that
so
a Dan in real life reference? Put it on my dad.
No, it was like a high and inside reference.
Okay, fair. I thought you were doing Steve Carell's famous bit that's in the trailer from the mediocre hit Dan in Real Life. There'll be some information about Dan in Real Life in the short show.
We both discussed that we like that movie. So I don't know why you'd call it
Dane
mediocre.
Cook.
Ruthie Pigface Draper.
But Tim Anderson, he's of a certain age.
Sure. That's our friend Ray Romano. Tim Anderson, I want to say he's younger than me.
Sure.
Is having kind of a breakout season, and he hits a sure home run and, you know, milks it. Like, not even a traditional bat flip, kind of takes a step out and throws his bat across home plate. Like,
that seems dangerous.
It was, I think is kind of the argument for trying to have umpires control celebrations. Mm-hmm. Is if you're going to try to prevent this thing from happening, instead of just it being a bat flip, a celebration, whatever, a retaliation pitch that hits the batter,
because that's what often starts the fight, it's not the bat flip,
it's the pitch.
Yeah,
because the pitcher has so much more control over that whole scenario.
So after they hit the home run and showboat, a pitcher will throw at them or somebody else very blatantly,
right?
And then we got a fight.
So I think
it's the inciting incident.
Even exactly.
Yeah,
even if you don't want to say that the being thrown at part of this scenario is, you know, dangerous enough that we need to create a rule or do something to try to combat against this being done on purpose, then I think the argument has to be for, well, if someone flips a bat and it takes a like weird bounce and legit injure someone or like falls in the baseline and a player like trips over it or something dumb like that.
Yeah.
Like that seems like reason enough to at least try to say like, can we?
So like when I played little league baseball, when I was a kid, if you threw your bat, like after you hit the ball, like even if it slipped out of your hands, you'd be called out immediately.
Yes.
This happened to me multiple times. And I was like, I don't know how to do
that. Happened
I would
to me
just
in softball
swing
too.
Just, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would just kind of absentmindedly like, no, throw it down.
But again, but this is, you know, Major League Baseball and not little kids.
Of course.
But,
and I don't even, I'm not against players celebrating. And I think part of the inequality is that seemingly pitchers can do whatever they want when they
I think
are celebrating.
Yeah. I think, and I'd like, let's break this down a little bit. So the first thing that happens is a player hits a home run and they admire their home run or they celebrate by throwing their bat in a specific way. I don't think players are wrong to do that.
Neither do I.
Because what, like, I'm not anti-fun. Like, I'm cool with celebrations. It's not what I come to sports for.
No.
I don't think anyone would say they come to sports for that.
And I would admit to being kind of like,
someone might, I don't know,
just accepting what I was being fed by what the general like consensus was in baseball was like, come on, just act like you've been there before.
Right.
Like,
which
was, I will admit.
And that's something that I was taught as a kid when I played. I played a lot of baseball. I played a lot of basketball. It was always act like you've been there before.
Sure.
And I think that in my mind, that's it's kind of more badass to not celebrate. It's the way I look at it because it's just feels like you're the stoic action hero. It's more Schwarzeneggerian. It just feels like something that Arnold Schwarzenegger would do.
To me,
I don't know why I picked him.
To me,
let's go Stallone.
I was
Stallone
okay.
would say something.
Yeah,
Stallone would be like, "How about that three? I can't do a Stallone."
That was like Charles Barkley.
It wasn't Stallone.
It wasn't. Home run.
Yo, Adrian, I hit a home run. That's not a very good joke,
no.
Nor is it a very good impression. So let's move on. So we agree that. Batters aren't wrong to like
no
and it's well, yeah who cares so then is a pitcher wrong to throw at a guy for doing that?
I have two thoughts about throwing at batters. One is I have legitimately witnessed a pitcher get tossed for a ball that did not seem deliberately hit thrown at a batter.
Okay.
So a part of me wants to like be the devil's advocate and say like not all beans.
Yeah.
And I think they're because that pitcher had been having difficulty with control
right.
the whole game
but
previous
that, yeah,
to that.
But that's not.
That's the exception to the rule.
Right.
My second point is I think that you can retaliate, quote unquote, more like what Chris Archer did, which is throw behind the batter completely,
yeah.
if that's what you decide to, that's the message that you want to send.
Which is to essentially say, I could hit you if I wanted to.
Yes, and I'm willing to like give up this base
yeah.
to be like, hey, fucking calm down.
Yeah, because at some point, it's the only way to get someone to stop doing something in sports is like, I will hurt you.
Yeah.
Like that's all they can do.
I mean, I was, so last season, Ronald Acuna was a hot rookie. He'd hit like 7 leadoff home runs in a row
yeah.
or some insane, or
yes.
he had like 7 games in a row with a home run.
Yeah.
He was on this insane streak and probably had some, you know, celebratory moments during
right.
that.
I mean, he's a kid.
Yeah. And he was playing out of his mind. And there, the first at bat of a game, I believe it was the third game in the series against the Marlins, their starting pitcher like led off the game by nailing him in the arm.
Yeah.
And I was furious.
For
like,
for things that happened in
furious.
Previous games.
I was, it is... That to
yeah.
me is like so bad for baseball.
But how do you think you? What do you think your opinion would be if the teams were flipped? Like obviously you're going to be furious because that's your team.
I still.
But I feel like there's a part of certain fans, and I'm totally guilty of this, that would like if my team gets it. If it happens to my team, I would be irate. But if it happens to the team I'm playing, I'd be like, well, that's just the game. You know, you got to fight through those things.
I don't.
You think this
I
is
would,
beyond that?
I would not ever advocate yeah. for a pitcher purposefully throwing at a player just because they were playing well.
I see. Okay, but would you do it for someone who did a bat flip?
I still not at. I
yeah.
I don't
not
want
at behind.
Pitchers
so the
behind,
distinction of behind.
Behind
is enough for you.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Even to throw behind him, even if all he was doing was like just on a hot streak, to just like throw behind him. And give him the base instead of batting to him, I would almost say, like, yeah, that's probably not bad strategy. Like,
yeah.
if you want to just take the bat out of his hands.
So it seems like the problem is that there's no real way for a pitcher to get back at a batter that doesn't, like, hurt his team. And
yes.
also, there's no real mechanism in baseball for people to be penalized for like unsportsmanlike conduct,
except
it's
for
being
ejected,
but that seems so for that seems overkill for
it's
something
like
a bat flip.
High school
in football or hockey, you have you have in football, you can deduct or add yardage. In hockey, you can put someone in the penalty box.
Sure.
Like, and play can continue as normal.
Soccer, you get a like card, yellow or red.
But there's nothing like in baseball for that. It's either you're out or you're thrown out of the game.
Yeah. Did you get my high school analogy? It was like in school suspension or out of school suspension.
Sure. So what could be if base? So it seems to me, here's where I land on it. I don't think batters are wrong for celebrating. I don't necessarily think pitchers are wrong for throwing at batters. You don't want to see them hit them, but like,
it just stresses me out too much.
If you're doing something that they don't want you to do, at some point you can't tell somebody that it doesn't matter that you don't like it. You have no recourse for retaliation.
I agree with
because
you.
Because that's just going to, you have to like crack that.
The world doesn't work like
that. Yeah. It would lead to
it's
bigger.
A game.
It would
it's
snowball.
Literally a thing that's back and forth.
Yeah. Like something would happen. So if it's just that, so to me, it says then we need to marshal the inciting incident, which is the bat flip. So what do you do? How do you do that?
I don't know. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be a real
problem
possibility.
Or yeah. I mean, how many fights have we had this year? Two?
Yeah.
So it's not, that doesn't seem like a ton.
Yeah. Out of like, yeah, maybe one every 10 games.
But it would be interesting to see if it flares up more.
Yeah. I just don't want anyone to get seriously injured because of it. And that's what it's, and we've discussed that that's probably where it's going to land. It's going to be the Buster Posey rule,
yeah,
the Chase Utley rule.
But that's my argument for the whole thing, which is essentially you don't want people to get hurt. We don't want people to have balls thrown at them intentionally, nor do we want fights.
Yeah.
Because that would lead to a higher likelihood of people getting hurt too. So when we're saying don't celebrate and act like you've been there before, aren't we kind of making the argument that it's so that you doing that doesn't snowball into a situation where people are more likely to get hurt?
So I completely agree with you.
I think that's what we're saying. I don't think that's what some people are saying when they say that,
though. And here's kind of, here's one of the stickiest parts of it. And this is kind of, I think, one of the biggest reasons that this has been so talked about is because the MLB also like publicly, I want to say like tweeted out a video of Tim Anderson hitting the home run, throwing the bat, and like hashtagged it like let the kids play.
Yeah.
So they're publicly saying like meh, they're right. Supporting
so
this, it.
Yeah, the MLB.
They're
is
making
endorsing
a hashtag out of it.
Yeah.
And they still are like suspending them for the fight that happened because of it.
Even though it's the thing that leads to the fight.
So it's kinda like you gotta make a stance.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the most like that's the crux of the biscuit here.
The crust of the biscuit?
Crux
of the biscuit?
That's the term.
I've never heard that before.
Yes, you have.
I haven't.
Well,
crust of the biscuit would make
more
sense.
No, it's the crux of the biscuit.
But what is the crux of an actual biscuit?
It's probably some British thing. I don't know.
Oh, so it's not like what we know as fluffy biscuits. They're talking about their crappy cookies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the crux of it's so badness is the crux of their biscuits. Just being wrong about a food.
I always think of it as like the cornerstone, like the crux of the biscuit is like
the thing that makes a biscuit a biscuit.
I don't know. Maybe that is what. Maybe it's the cornerstone.
The corner
bakery. Free associate. That's the best way to go out.
All right. Let's. Why don't we check in with our home teams? If the Braves were a Power Ranger, which Power Ranger would they be?
One singular one.
You know what? Any character. You could do Bulk and Skull together.
All right. I'm going to throw a curveball into this question and say, I think that the Braves right now are when they all get into the Megazord, but they haven't used the sword yet.
Okay, so, this is way more specific than I thought you were going to be like Billy.
But you know what phase of the every single episode of Power Rangers I'm talking about? So they've called upon their weapons. They've assembled their huge and the enemy is also huge.
Yep.
And the enemy has for all intents and purposes, seemingly defeated them.
Yeah.
And the Megazord is like on its back or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Megazord calls upon its sword and defeats the enemy. That's how every major boss fight ends at the end of Power Rangers episodes. That's what the Braves are.
Okay. Follow up. Why?
Because we have all of the pieces. We have strong opening pitching. That's like when they're still on the ground, you know, fighting the guy when he's small.
Sure. I keep going with this. I like where it's going.
And we have good offense, which is like when they call upon their Megazords individually. And, you know, Sabretooth Tiger. Like the Sabretooth Tiger is Josh Donaldson.
Okay. Who is Triceratops? Triceratops was Billy, right?
That's probably Brian McCann because he's like the oldest and wisest.
I like that. And then Rocky's was T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And that's...
Rocky wasn't his name. Was his name Rocky?
That was one of them, but I don't think it was the original. Jason.
Yeah.
Rocky was like the second
Red Ranger, who on Braves is Jason?
Come on, dude. Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. He's the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman for sure.
Pterodactyl?
That's maybe like Ozzy Albies. Like he's like
kind of bird like,
light, small,
yeah,
finesse.
And then what was the Black Rangers? Was it elephant? That's not right.
Mastodon.
Mastodon, yeah. So kind of an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old kind.
Yeah, old elephants. Old elephant didn't work as well.
That's got to be a Acuna, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that really derailed my analogy.
It sure did.
But I think that the offenses, they're Megazords. They're all coming in. The bats are here. Josh Donaldson has arrived. He brought in the rain. And the biggest thing they're missing is that sword to bring them home.
Who or what might that sword be?
I've been saying it for weeks, but it might be Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah.
So I have two thoughts on that, and then I'll kind of pass it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I meant to mention last week, but the Braves locked in their very own pterodactyl.
Oh, right.
Ozzy Albies into a deal similar to Ronald Acuna's, except maybe half price. And
which seems fair.
It is probably scaling down the deal that Acuna got that a lot of people also argued was like a big steal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying this Albies deal is a steal. I agree. You know, I think there's a longer conversation there, but that's not necessarily what I want to talk about. It is that we've gotten this young talent inexpensively, and we should have room to expand in places we are of need.
Right.
Part of the reason that's happened is because when Craig Kimbrell rejected the qualifying offer from the Red Sox, it meant that any team who then signed him would lose a draft pick.
As a penalty for signing a player who the Red Sox made a qualifying offer to.
That he rejected.
Gotcha.
So the Braves have been embroiled in some controversy that is going to affect their international signings for the next few years. Because of that, their draft picks are more precious to them than maybe they would be if that were not in place. So there is a very like fine line of now versus future being drawn in the Braves organization because we know we're going to have these guys. The only person who we've really like, you know, gambled on this year is Josh Donaldson, and otherwise we're still really cheap.
Yeah.
And we have time to get even better.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they're just biding their
time. So Kimbrel's that sword, but it's going to cost him a draft pick.
Right. So it might be like a second season kind of thing, you know?
Second season.
Second season Power Rangers.
You gotcha.
So if the Pirates were a member of NSYNC, which one would they be?
A member of NSYNC, which one would they be?
I'll give you the same courtesy of like if you want to change it to an era
or
an album.
So I'll say Lou Pearlman. No, maybe Wade Robson, who was the famous dance instructor who filled in for Joey Fatone in the pop music video. If you watched the making the video of
good that. Lord.
I know what shots.
Pop-up video
it's Wade
much?
Robson. Yeah, I believe he dated Britney Spears and was like a choreographer for all those people. No, I would say.
What was wrong with Joey?
He like broke his leg or he had too much pasta at lunch. I would say in truth they're probably more I would give them a JC Chazet right now.
Ooh, love it. Yeah,
I'll tell you why. Because for a little bit, for a few days, they were on tops of their division, the National League, and the league at one point. They had the best record in the league, I think, at one point. Yeah, the best winning percentage.
Jeez.
They had a couple games rained
winning
out.
Percentage.
So that was kind of cool. So it felt like are these Pirates kind of the leading man? It's like, no, JT's going to, right, they're going to fall back down and they're not going to, they're going to release a weird solo album with a music video with Tara Reid in it and everyone's going to be like, what is this?
And JT's going to host SNL and JC is going to be like the host of America's Best Dance Crew or something like that.
I made bad choices. So I think they'd mostly be like that.
Okay.
I wish there was a member of NSYNC that came in like partway through to bolster them. Because the Pirates just called up Cole Tucker, who's one of their, who's like I think their top like position
prospect
and definitely top shortstop prospect, and he came in. He hit a home run in his first game, which ended up being the game winner because the game got called early because of rain.
That's right.
He's hit. He in his second game he hit a double. I think today I don't think he got a hit, but he's looked good defensively. He's like, this is the guy who should be playing shortstop for us.
Now, tell me what happened at the at-bat that he was...
So, yeah, it's kind of really cool. So, there was some weather moving in, and they were worried about
obviously,
if they were going to get the game
in. Obviously,
they
called it right after.
And the pitch before Cole Tucker hits his home run, there's a lightning strike off in the distance. Cole Tucker, at-bat, sees it. Steps out of the batter's box and calls time. And the umpires are like, oh, there was just some lightning. I think that's why Cole Tucker called
time out.
And he gets set back in the box. They throw a pitch and he hits a like 430-foot home run.
Literally, hey, there's lightning. I'm going to hit the first hit and it's a home run.
It was really,
my entire career.
It was really insane.
Awesome.
Really weird timing. They cut to his parents who were jumping up and down in the stands, and you could see his dad mouth the words, "Are you fucking kidding me?" which was just like, that's the right response.
Yeah. I love for him and for, is it Wilson? What's the other rookie's name?
Martin. Jason Martin, the blue-eyed baby.
Baby blue. Yeah. Baby blue boy himself. Blue Ranger.
Yeah. His eyes are Billy.
For both sets of their parents, when they've shown them in the stands at some point during the footage, you've seen an usher come up and just give
high
them the most
them, yeah.
enthusiastic high fives.
I think it was in the Cole Tucker one, some like random drunk Yinzer fan, while Cole Tucker's parents were like hugging and having a moment, like came up and was trying to high five him. I was like, dude, get away. Like,
no.
This is
Usher's
their
I
life.
Like
get away. You're just some guy.
Not every
but,
fan.
So Cole Tucker's been a fun story. He seems like he's the guy that this is the first time in this season where I'm like, there are things that if they happen, I will be mad about as a fan.
Mm.
Like if we send Cole Tucker back down, I will be
right.
like, I don't think the team should have done this.
Yeah.
And that's the first time since following them that I have like a strong opinion
You're
about
taking,
what,
like, ownership.
How I want the team to like operate. Be like, no, you got to keep this guy up. This is a guy who can provide more offense. He's as good defensively as any of the other shortstops. He should be starting now.
So it took slightly less than a month of baseball.
It took like less than 20 games for me to be like, this is what I want to happen. And if they don't do this, I'll be blah. So that's like the most that's. That's a nice hook to hang my fandom hat on right now. And it keeps me going and it gives me like a guy to root for.
Yeah.
And he's also like absurdly likable. He's very open.
Yes.
And he's very like, he talks very honestly. He's very outgoing. And he seems just like he's having the best time. So he's easy to like right now.
He looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He has like cool hair.
He's the type of player though that he talks so like effusively and honestly. That stuff is endearing and great when times are good,
mm-hmm.
but when they get really bad, sometimes I feel like that means it could also go bad the other way. Mm. So I'll be interested to see how he continues to, if he doesn't, I think that's why players temper themselves. 'Cause they know like, if I'm having a great time when things are great, I'll be probably having a bad time when things are bad, and we don't want that.
Sure.
Similar to like, it's act like you've been there before, not because we don't want you having fun. It's
sure.
that it leads to bad things later.
Sure.
Similarly, I think we get a lot of vanilla answers from players because you just don't be too high or too low to the media. Just stay right in and take that part out of it. But so I think he's a high risk high reward with a little bit of risk player. That seems like he could be a pirate stalwart for years to come. So that's exciting to see.
What happened to that pitcher whose arm
exploded? I think he only got put on the 10-day DL.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's probably, they may just be like feeling out what the injury is before they do anything.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah. I didn't. That happened the other night. I didn't really see much about it. Sterling Marte got put on the 10-day DL because they had a bad collision in the outfield, which was rough to see.
Yikes.
But yeah, there's not much more to talk about there other than two players went, I got that, and then they hit each other really hard.
No.
Yeah. It didn't look great. But otherwise it's been a fun week for the Buccos. They lost their last two, so they're probably coming back down to earth.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're JC Chazet, you know? Are they the leading man? Not really.
Are they the most attractive? Arguably.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I'm a Kirkpatrick guy. So we're going to try to play a little game here. It's a trivia game, but with a little baseball format twist. I'm going to explain the rules. Take notes if you want, because it gets complicated.
I don't think you necessarily have to follow every explanation to understand the gameplay once it starts. Similar to a baseball game. If you just turned it on, even if you weren't sure what was going on, you'd be like, I think I get it now.
So we're going to play just the top half of an inning.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth's going to be at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Each at bat is going to have a unique strike zone or a category.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, as the defensive team, lob pitches or examples that may fall within or without of that category. If the category or strike zone was Quentin Tarantino movies, I might lob Tommy Boy at her. That is not a Quentin Tarantino movie. If she identifies that it is not a Quentin Tarantino movie, she's laying off. She knows that that pitch is a ball. If I say Inglourious Bastards, that pitch would count as a strike. If she correctly identifies whether a pitch is a ball or a strike, she can opt to swing at the pitch.
I'm going
to
swing at Inglourious Bastards.
If she swings at Inglourious Bastards, she has to answer a trivia question about that pitch. I might simply say, who is the actress who plays Shoshana in Inglourious Bastards?
She's the Bobby Cannavale of France. Melanie Laurent.
And that's correct, and that would be a hit. Harder questions will result in
Is that a fair analogy?
Probably. Harder questions will result in bigger hits.
What would you say Melanie Laurent is?
I would say that's probably a double. I think she's well known. If I said who played the head Nazi of the movie?
Oh, Christoph Waltz.
I think that's a single.
Yeah, for sure.
You can opt not to swing at pitches and they will count as a ball or a strike, whether they fell inside or outside of the strike zone. If you misidentify a pitch and if you said Tommy Boy was a Quentin Tarantino movie, that would count as a strike every time.
Yeah, it's like a swinging strike.
Yep.
If I'm trying to take a shot at a ball.
So this is going to get weird, complicated, and obtuse. We're going to try to see how long this goes on and how quickly we can get three outs. But let's give it a shot. for your first at bat, the strike zone is going to be Death Cab for Cutie songs.
Oh no.
Pitch number one coming at ya. Bend two squares.
I gotta say it's a strike.
That is a Death Cab song. That is correct.
I don't want to take a swing.
She's not gonna swing at that, so the count is 0-1. The next song is Dude Looks Like a Lady.
I'm laying off.
That is not a Death Cab song. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
That is correct. That's a ball. Are you going to swing at it?
I'm swinging.
You're going to swing at the ball?
Yeah.
Give me the first line of Dude Looks Like a Lady. Is that what you're going with?
Yeah, this is as close as I'm going to get to it.
It
kind of sounds like, time I used to walk on the docks. But yeah, that's the first line of a different song.
Cruising to a bar on the shore. Her picture graced the grime on the door.
But I knew what it sounded like.
True. Still a ground ball to the second baseman. That's one out. So for at bat number two, the strike zone is people, places, or things that appear in the Die Hard series.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. First pitch is Sergeant Al Powell.
Strike.
Strike. Are you going to take a swing at it? You are correct.
No.
No swing? So the count is 0-1. Second pitch, Simon Peter Gruber.
Strike.
You gonna take a swing at it?
Yeah.
Who plays Simon Peter Gruber?
Jeremy Irons.
Correct. That's a base hit. You have a man on first with one out.
I have seen enough of those movies to know some trivia, but not enough to know it all. I don't know why that was. I was waiting for, you know, the jug riddle.
Okay, third at bat, your strike zone is going to be ingredients in pizza.
By the way, I'm sorry that I didn't let you get to any places or things.
Yeah, well, I said people, places, or things, and I guess I just meant two people.
Just characters in Die Hard.
I was going to get to Nakatomi Plaza,
strike.
Wall Street in Die Hard 3, the moon. That would have been a ball. So at bat number three.
Pizza ingredients.
Ingredients in pizza.
These are like three of your favorite sets of pitches. Right. Yeah.
We're really burning off my go-tos at the beginning.
Okay, this is why they have to bring in bullpens.
So first ingredient, bananas.
I'm going to say laying off.
That's a ball. You want to swing at that ball?
Yeah.
When was the last time I had a banana?
We bought some from the grocery store maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I made some like peanut butter toast and put banana on it. And that's the last time that I ate bananas with you.
Yeah, when was that?
Like 5 weeks ago. Do you know more accurately than that? Do you keep a calendar?
I don't. So I think that's a base hit.
You legitimately were asking me.
Yeah.
When's the last time I ate a banana?
I actually needed to know for a report I'm doing.
You got your blood results back and the potassium was low.
All right. Next at bat. You got runners on first and second, one out. The strike zone for this one is t-shirts I've owned in my lifetime. First t-shirt is a Mario Lemieux t-shirt.
Strike.
I have never owned a Mario Lemieux t-shirt. That is a swinging strike. Strike one. Number two, a Tasmanian Devil t-shirt.
Strike.
I have never owned a Tasmanian Devil t-shirt.
That makes one of us.
I'm sure that's true.
It is.
Strike two. T-shirt number three. a t-shirt.
This really should have been easier because you still have all the shirts you've ever owned.
I know. I'm surprised. I've
I've been just blindly. I didn't do my research on the picture.
A t-shirt number three. A t-shirt from the Haverhill Historical Society.
Strike.
I did own that shirt.
Yeah, it seemed too specific not to swing it.
You got two strikes. You kind of got to swing at this one.
Yeah, because I call it a strike. Otherwise, yeah. It's a called third strike. Yeah, I have to swing.
In what city, in what town in Massachusetts did I purchase that t-shirt?
Lowell.
What?
Lowell.
Lowell, Massachusetts? Lowell is where I went to college. That is incorrect. I purchased it at a Salvation Army in Saugus, Massachusetts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that about your personal
Strike
history.
Three. I had to throw you some nasty stuff there.
Yeah, you gave me two on. Strikes for one. I got four strikes in that inning.
Two outs, runner on first and second.
Okay.
I'm feeling a little cocky. Now I'm going to get a little easier with my pitches instead of the history of my apparel.
Right.
That's
right. I had a little hubris going there, too.
Yeah, I had to bring it back down to earth.
Yeah, yeah. I would have known you had a Mario Lemieux shirt because you would have been wearing it.
I would have
it.
Still had it, yeah. Mm. I've never owned a Mario Lemieux shirt. I had a Mario Lemieux poster. That doesn't matter.
My Taz shirt was so large that I would never own it now.
Let's do instruments I've played before.
Okay.
Pitch number one is a theremin.
Ball.
That is a strike. I've played a theremin.
Okay.
It's very hard to play. Number two, a keytar.
Ball.
Correct. I've never played a keytar. I've seen them. I don't think I've ever held one, though.
If someone that you knew owned a keytar and you didn't, I would be surprised.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, if someone were going to own one, it's you.
Counts 101. Next instrument, French horn.
No.
Have not played that. That's a ball. Next instrument. Man, this is right down the middle. A guitar.
Strike.
Correct. You want to take a swing?
You seem like you want me to. I think you're serving me a fastball down the middle and you want me to swing and I'm gonna.
The electric guitar that I owned in high school was made by what brand? You recently saw a picture, an old picture of me playing this guitar. Who is the maker of that guitar?
Gibson.
Ooh.
Is it Gresh?
I had a Fender Stratocaster.
Did not.
The most guitar there is.
I didn't know this. I deserved this.
That's a solidly hit pop fly to left field.
I deserve it.
That's three outs.
I think that was a good inning.
I had a good half an inning. Maybe we'll do the bottom half of that out of the
I feel like
later.
I'm proud of the couple hits I got in the first round.
I hope this game made sense to anybody.
Eric, bring us home. What's the inside scoop?
My inside scoop this week is a music recommendation. I'm going to recommend an album by a Canadian singer-songwriter named Dan Mangan, M-A-N-G-A-N. His newest album called More or Less came out like a month ago. I've kind of not been able to stop listening to it. It's pretty like standard folky singer-songwriter stuff, but he has a bit of a penchant for some like bleep and bloopy type sounds. Like there might be a little... it gets a little left of center, but at its heart, he's just kind of like a very good emotional singer-songwriter, folk, kind of more balladeer than he is anything else. I've dug this dude for a while. Mm-hmm. He has a couple other albums I really like. If you wanted to listen to...
I bought you one of his albums on...
You did.
Final for Christmas one year.
The album I was just about to mention is called Nice, Nice, Very Nice. That's a good entry point. That's a more like straightforward, folky, just him and a guitar album. His newest one more or less gets a little bit more adventurous, which I like. I think his newest one's the best one.
Every song I've heard off of it is I've if I may chime in, I've listened to him through you before, but I really do think that that new stuff like transcends what I've heard of his before.
If I was going to recommend some songs to start with off the new album, more or less, I would say Troubled Mind, Cold in the Summer, and Fool for Waiting is the third song. Those three are kind of like an entry point. If neither get you, it might not. I also like Just Fear. I like the whole album, so I could just listen to the whole album is my inside scoop.
Yeah. It's a good one. They're on some good tunes. If you find yourself yearning for good tunes.
Put on some. I think that's as good of a way to go out as that we can find. Goodbye.